Time for another Local Heroes Spotlight with Jennifer Kaur, the executive director of CESA, and Jennifer Kaur of Hetty Bell Farm here in Warwick, Mass. This is the earliest segment we've ever done for the show, Khalees, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is.
But I had to remind myself that I got here 4 hours later than I used to get to work every day from my other morning show. So everything is good in perspective.
Also, the other thing about this is that with this visit, we have now hit all of the 978 towns.
Because there are a few 978 towns in Franklin County that are not technically part of the 413, but we love them anyway.
Not area code-wise, but location-wise, they're still part of the 413.
Identity-wise, yes. Absolutely.
And what's cool is Jennifer's been at the helm of CESA for like a little bit over a year now, I think. And we knew you as a farmer first before a leading farm advocacy organization. So we're going to see you wearing your other hat, although your hat is currently a CESA knit cap.
We're matching your hat.
I know.
Khalees, where is your hat?
It's at home.
We both have CESA hats, so we needed to take turns about who wears the hat on which day because it looks too twinning.
If we're going to be, like, hanging out with animals in, like, a barn and seeing you doing your chores and maybe helping, I don't want my hair down because I will take whatever we touch with it.
So we left your house kind of on the main drag in Warwick, and we got in your truck, and you're driving us.
Yeah, I'm driving you around because we would spend a lot of time going through the snow. We're in this in-between season where skiing up here made a lot of sense for a while, but...
So is this all your land, just like the back area of your...
So our home is right there. It abuts it. But, so we do not own a bunch of this land. We lease a bunch of land. So we're in a long-time lease on this and actually almost all of our land. We own 4 acres in total, and we lease about 65.
And I bet people can't tell what type of farmer you are as we open the truck door.
Can it get a little bit loud?
Yeah!
Yeah!
I'm
so sorry.
That smells like sheep.
I have now been given what I was promised.
You wanted to see lambs, and here are some lambs.
Because lambing is like, everybody else has their signs of spring. Lambs are my signs of spring, and plus they're super cute. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is the opposite of the silence of the lambs.
Yeah, no, the lambs are rarely silent, it turns out.
This is the barniest looking barn you can imagine, where it's old wood with haylofts and a tractor in here and pitchforks and shovels and ropes.
And square bales, not circular ones.
And lots of sheep.
Oh,
there comes
she
a baby. There's a little baby lamb.
Oh my God, you're so cute.
So sorry, it's really loud. We're going to do grain because they're addicts and they'll quiet down.
We're doing some farm chores.
Addict number one.
They followed you out. What are you feeding?
We're going to, just a little bit of grain that they only get while they're lactating. So otherwise they're 100% grass-fed, but the mamas get grain during lactation.
Mm-hmm.
We make all of our own hay, about 2,500 bales a year. And we just, like, there's a lot of variability in the weather and otherwise. We don't know that we're giving them, like, the top quality. So this is, like, extra.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're only feeding them while they're lactating, how many times a year do you need grain then?
Yeah, we just, this time of year. So Greenfield Farmers Exchange is like...
Where we were last week, and they said that you...
They come up here every week.
They deliver to you here?
They deliver to us here, yeah. And have
good.
Been for years and years, so yeah. You want to grab those two.
Gotcha.
You want to grab one of these. We're going to try and, like, spread these out evenly on this side first.
Okay. You guys, down here. Oh, look at that little black sheep.
This is, like, another little problem in that this mama, there's one baby she accepts and one baby she does not accept. There was probably, like,
That happened with me and my children.
Dear God.
Whoa. Sorry, Enzo.
Whoa, Enzo's my favorite of the kids.
Good, you can have him.
Did Enzo have to lay flat and army crawl up to your wife's ninnies?
Because
that's what's going on right now. But they're, like, we're just trying to get them to, like, a place that gets this baby over the hump with enough colostrum and otherwise, which is not particularly nice about it.
Why would that happen? Do we know?
No, we do know there was a problem in which this baby got out, and we didn't see it for a number of hours at, like, a really critical point.
Uh-huh.
And then we were like, there's a baby wandering around. Whose baby is that? And it took Olivia and I both scratching our head, and, like, they all sort of look the same, figuring out who's who, to ultimately, like, repair them, and there's just a bond that's broke.
They didn't imprint in the right amount of time?
it may or may not come back. Mm-hmm. Usually when they start suckling again, they smell like her.
Yeah.
And so that's, you can sometimes get over the hump, but it's been a few days that she's been acting like this, so I'm not feeling super hopeful. But this baby is able to get food just very creatively and with a lot of annoyance to everyone in this pen, including myself.
Because Jennifer is literally using her thighs to hold the mother sheep against the side of the pen, while one sheep is just delightfully sitting there, yeah, and the other one is trying to, like, as you said, army crawl to get to the teats.
And also, like, stopping the mom from kind of kicking the baby away, which she's trying to do, the baby that's trying to feed.
So the grain is, like, her addiction is working in our favor right now.
So you brought some grain in here.
Yeah. But to be the favored son, Harrius.
Do you name the sheep?
Yeah, so we've been doing this for 17 years. We're out of great names in many ways. We name the girls that we think we might keep. We don't often name the boys, except if they're exceptional or they're really friendly or whatever. And then we try to keep all of our own females. And we're trying, right now we're trying to grow our flock, so like a lot of the female babies that you see, we'll keep.
What's the name of this one that has got the one child that is a favorite child, the one child that's less so?
This is Fawn. And she's been an awesome mama. She's been with us for a long time. We breed for, like a lot of sheep farmers, only breed for 5-6 years maximum. We have a ewe that is 10 this year, which is pretty old. We wouldn't normally do that, but she's really healthy. And this will be, certainly, she'll go into retirement now. And she, I think Fawn is like 8, so she'll also probably go into retirement.
What type of sheep are you raising here?
These are Katahdins.
Isn't that that game that you hate?
I just feel like there's better games than Catan.
Oh, Catan.
Catan.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah, no. Yeah, all of the ewes are Katahdins, and then we normally have a Dorper ram, but we do have a Katahdin ram this year because we're making a bunch of replacements.
So you're impregnating them with a ram?
Well, yeah.
Well, there's, you know, other, oh, you, could, you know, yeah, you could do it, inseminate, like other cow farmers.
To, like, use a ram with sheep than to inseminate.
I can imagine.
A cow. Yeah. We always have rams, a couple, you'll meet them, Gustav and Van Morrison.
You didn't call them Ram Morrison?
No. It was, like, a group that we got, and they all have these, like, sort of ridiculous, we named them, but we, in retrospect, it's like, what were we thinking? They all have these, like, double names, so it's, like, Dolly Parton and Meryl Streep and Bonnie
Wright.
Really? Right? Yeah.
Have you shorn Van Morrison for his Veedon fleece?
Wow.
Nice, wow. Nice. La, 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 la. These guys are also hair sheep, by the way. So.
Oh, yeah, so you don't even get
they're
the wool.
Like, yeah, they're just, it's like a big toupee. It just comes off.
Well, maybe I could use that.
All right, so that was a nice little meal.
Good luck, little guy. Sorry, mama.
Kalisa's
holding the baby sheep. This one's kicking. Continuing, going through the barns, doing chores at Hetty Bell Farm in Warwick with Jennifer Corr of CISA, who is also here at Hetty Bell. Now we're on the inside, just like the backstage tour.
We have accidentally herded all the sheep into the other room.
So did you create Hetty Bell Farm, or did you move here to an existing lamb farm?
Great question. No, we created the farm, so we moved here, and there were some horses grazing this land, and this was 17 years ago. At the time, Olivier and I were looking at farms to make goat cheese in France, like meeting with financiers and trying to figure out, like, is this viable? And working at the farm school, where we had started a meat CSA. And so there was a lot of question around, like, what? Are we going to borrow 300,000 euros and, like, pay that back one bush at a time? Uh-huh. Or, like, is there a different way to do it? And this land abuts our land, so we talked to the landowner, who has now passed, but we're in a long-term lease here. And then over time, we've grown in acreage with many other neighbors leasing us land as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a thing we built pretty low debt. Like, that was the model. And just to see, like, does it work without putting, you know, all that risk into it, all of that. Okay, here's what we're gonna do.
All right.
Yeah, so this one is even more ferocious. It's kind of like a concert in the 90s. Like, you will get lifted off the ground.
Okay.
So just roll with that. Like, don't actually roll on the ground, but just, like...
Can we try to crowd surf?
Relax your... You might
relax into it, and you end up safer. If you fight the crowd, you get hurt.
It's a mosh pit with these sheep.
Monty, here's what you're gonna do.
Okay.
You're gonna have this... And as we go in, we're going to divide and conquer. They'll be very distracted about where the grain is coming from because there's three people. We're going to do our thing. And there's on the far side over there, there's like a little shelf trough. You're going to put that in there.
Okay. Because I have just like a scooper full of it. And Jennifer and Kalise have bowls of grain.
Ready?
On to the right, right?
Right over there. And we have to close this door. Kalise, you're going to hit that feeder right there. Set it inside of here. One on each side of the interior box. Okay. Ready?
Interior box.
Look. this is like Pearl Jam. Right here. Here we go. Ready?
Oh, I'm still alive. Here we go. They don't know where to go. They're all confused. Here I go to the trough. Oh, look what we got over here, sheep. There you go. Look at how quiet they got. Look at all these little baby sheep running around. They're skipping.
It is the best. I love lambing season. Really, you want a little hope.
Look at them jumping like that. It's so cute.
Lambs.
Okay, will you guys keep an eye on this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that one is just born right now. So fragile.
So what do we need to make sure they don't get trampled?
And this is its mama. And they're all much smarter than you think.
Just born.
Oh, you cutie baby. It's almost like, well, it's about small dog size.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely small dog size. But it is not as filled out as, like, the other lambs that we're seeing. And now that I'm seeing that one, I can kind of tell some of the younger lambs. Like, that one's got to be pretty young, too.
Yeah. What's the matter? I don't want to touch you. Look at, oh, so new that you can still
see
the blood on.
Yeah, you see the blood. That's not a teat, kiddo.
You'll learn. Oh, see, that one almost got trampled. Oh, now she's crying because she almost got trampled. We had one job and we failed.
No, she's right here. She's okay. Still near her mom. She didn't get trampled. She's good.
She got bumped.
That's okay. Yeah. They can tolerate a lot.
Police
so
is going to.
Baby comes from the front side.
Baby comes from the front.
From the back and help make the contact.
Okay. Look at that teat. It's just, it's wanting so badly to be suckled. Get in there, baby. Can we get her to suckle?
There we go.
Yes.
There we go.
You did it, Khalees.
Yay! Now she's got to stay with it.
I know. Now the mom just totally ran away.
Oh, no.
They follow Jennifer Core because they think more food's coming. This poor baby. Come on. Yeah, that's your baby. Let's keep her away from this stampede.
This is so hard. You almost got. You can get it on your own. Yeah!
Yeah, now she did it on her own. Mom has walked away again. Continuing, going through the barns, doing chores at Hetty Bell Farm in Warwick with Jennifer Core of CISA, who is also here at Hetty Bell. Now you got a hay bale, giving them their hay.
So they get, like, second cut hay, pre-gestation, and now that they're lactating. And then they'll go out on grass as soon as that's possible. And we'll do a little bit of in and out for a few weeks, and then they'll be out for the whole season. And the idea is that we have these babies in February, and they are ready to hit the pasture in May.
How many sheep do you have about?
Ewes? 45?
No, ewes.
Ewes,
guys. Ewes, guys. How many sheep do ewes guys have?
In total, we have about 45 ewes, and then they're babies right now. And so we're hoping to grow the breeding flock to have more babies in the future.
Nice.
We make the most money off of sheep because they make their own babies, and we make their own hay, their feed. So we don't have a lot of external inputs. Yeah.
But then there's a couple cows out there.
Yeah, so we've been doing for... Gosh, yeah, 16 years. We've been doing a meat CSA, like a multi-species organic meat CSA. Beef, pork, lamb, chicken, ducks that we all raise ourselves. And we are right in the middle of moving away from that. Much of it is like life and all of the things, all of the time, and what that looks like year after year after year, which is a reality that many, many, many farms are facing. And so we're trying to figure out how we continue to keep the farm viable, but not have like 12-hour days for 7 months out of the year.
And you are the executive director of CISA, so,
and
you know.
My husband is often here.
And does he have a job off the farm too?
He has not for all this time. Until very recently, he started working at the school right across the street. So he works very part-time there. And part of this is just like, you guys are here, so it's fun. And we're chatting. Often you're alone. You're alone for all of those hours doing one task after another task after another task. And the thing about livestock farming is that there is tremendous science and sort of like mechanical understanding required. But the reality is that you're often like moving poop from point A to point B, moving animals from point A to point B, setting up a fence, resetting up a fence, picking up a fence again. There is a grind to it, which is part of the like rhythm and joy, but also it can be a little isolating. So we are trying, like, at this stage, after this many years of like a great run and an awesome membership, to figure out like, what does this thing look like for us for the next 10 years? And I think that'll be more
more wholesale.
All of these things are demonstrative of what so many farmers are going through, including the fact that just being a farmer often isn't enough. There needs to be supplemental incomes or you can't do it at all.
Well, yeah. So that recent report, the Special Commission, Legislative Commission report, like outlined again that something like 2/3 of Massachusetts farms are earning about 95 cents for every dollar spent on farming, which means by definition, people have to do something else. So for some people, that's weddings. For other people, that's an off-farm job. For us, that has often been like contracts for conservation practices is what fills the gap and makes it make sense for us. And then we're in a moment where there's just tremendous sort of price sensitivity where every one of us is facing like high housing costs, like crazy healthcare costs.
Fuel costs are energy going up sky high this week.
Continue going up. So that makes it challenging for like farms to figure out like what is a price point that's sustainable for them, and also like farmers grow food because it's important to them and they want their community to have access to that food. And what we often see is like farmers not paying themselves enough in order to keep doing that. And that is only sustainable for so long. So for us, our model has always been that I was going to work off the farm. It's not great if you are often saying at your kitchen table, like, yeah, if we won the lottery, we could both farm full time. Like, what? I don't think dentists are saying stuff like that, or even like plumbers, right? Like, so why is that the position that farmers often find themselves in?
Right.
All right, I'm going to grab a little bit more hay. Do you want to cuddle with babies or do you want to lift some hay?
I will do whatever.
I'll lift hay.
I would love to lift hay.
And Khalees can cuddle babies because she did such a good job trying to get that baby to suckle.
I will always cuddle lambs.
Okay, I'll come help lift hay. How goes the cuddling?
I mean, this is the best.
You seem to like Geraldine.
I mean, I like all the lambs. Geraldine's doing okay.
Kind of up in the air about the whole thing. You baby.
I was trying to cuddle, like, to cup her legs, and she's like, no! It must be free!
It's Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton?
Well, hey there, it's Dolly.
Who's been through a lot. So,
Dolly
you know,
Parton's in a little cage all by herself with a little baby. So what's Dolly Parton's story?
Would you like to call it a jug and not a cage? But yeah, there's some visual to that.
If you talk about Dolly Parton's jug, somebody else, they're going to think things all together differently.
Airy space with a lot of cozy
things. Yeah, it is not, it doesn't feel like she's in jail. It feels like she's being separated for a reason.
She's being separated. So she, like, this is one of those, you know, you think you've had all the lessons learned and then you haven't. So she, when she delivered this little guy, she had a uterine prolapse.
Oh.
Which is basically like all of your inside organs are outside your body.
Yeah.
And so there was a little moment in which I text Olivier and say, emergency, emergency, please come up to the barn. And he says, what the hell do you think you're going to do? And I was like, we're going to put this back inside.
Ew.
And he was like, no, you're, what? And I was like, well, it's not going to stay outside. So we washed it off and sort of gave it a go. And then I immediately was like, we're calling the vet now. So we called our vet. They came out 45 minutes later and pretty much they shoved it back in the exact same manner that I was attempting to do, but felt a lot more comfortable to have them do it. And so she, all of her organs were out. All of her organs are inside. She's back intact. This is a week later.
She looks totally normal.
She's not totally normal, but she's getting better. So,
and the baby's here with her.
The baby's here. They're not like, you know, she has been fighting a uterine infection for the last week.
Her uterus was outside of her body.
That'll
do it. In this environment, you know, like she wasn't in like a surgery. So we'll see. They are doing pretty well under the circumstances, but we're just trying to keep them quiet and separated, and we'll see. Lesson learned.
Dolly Parton, we're rooting for you.
I know we are.
I just want to say a great big thank you.
It was your first prolapse?
We've had vaginal prolapses. That's like, we have some fat ewes, and that happens sometimes. But we have never had a uterine prolapse. And it's one of those things like, oh, it's really rare. Eventually it happens. And it also just felt like astonishing that you can go from that state to this.
To not dead
and like ruminating and feeding a baby. And I mean, they're not thriving yet, but they're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So she's here, quiet.
Well done, Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
We like the sheep version of you and the real version of you.
I will always love you.
Okay, so water is next. So it's sort of like the order of operation is grain to quiet the barn, hay, water, and then we'll deal with poop. So we're going to carry a lot of water. If you're up for it, grab a couple buckets and I'll show you our system. So I should also say, I mentioned that like we bought our house and then we were like, oh, I wonder what's happening with that farm right behind our house. And do we want to move to France or do we want to do this thing here? This barn does not have any electricity. And so we spent like the first year trying to work with a power company and figure, I mean, there are power lines that go absolutely straight through the farm and up to the top of Mount Grace. And then realized like, actually, we've just spent a year doing this thing without electricity, and it's fine. So we are very fortunate. The farm abuts Mount Gray State Park, which is essentially like a geological water hold. And so there are tons of springs that used to be the water source for everyone in town and is still the water source for Hedy Bell Farm. So nice. All of our water runs here gravity fed, and it's been awesome.
Let's carry your water.
Okay. You want a bucket that has a handle, or you're pretty dissatisfied.
Water is heavy.
Now we're walking in the cow pen.
So right down there is where we're going. 3 days ago, this was like golf balls of frozen poop, and that was the danger. And now it's just like a softer version of
now it's
spring.
Just muddy poop.
And all of this, like what you're looking at, including the like hay that we lay out here, that's like spent hay, is our fertility for our fields. Mm-hmm. So we apply this and wood ash, organic wood ash, to our fields. And that's it.
All right, I gotta put my recorder in my pocket so I don't get water all over it. Something very 36 Chambers of Shaolin carrying buckets of water like this. It's like Kung Fu training.
You'll have to carry the water for many days to build up your arms. Right.
Sure.
And this is what we do 3 times a day, and then it's still poopy hours later. It's just over and over and over again.
So we're taking hay, we're bringing it into the pen, and we're covering the poop with hay.
You got it. Bedding. Yeah.
Bedding. Yeah. This is how I deal with poop at my own house.
Yeah, it's a really like satisfying. Just cover it up.
All my problems get covered this way. Just throw some hay on them. Please tell us what you just did.
I just held the baby trying to bait the mom into coming into this pen.
But that was the mom that didn't want the baby to nurse before, so it's nice to know that it
no, no.
was...
No, no, this is the mom that just had the lamb this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, she just had the lamb this morning.
She had two, she lost one, so this is the littler of the two. So it's going to be like a little weaker and struggle a little more with those teats.
But you've separated her out so they can have a little more
every ewe goes into a jug right after birth to have a couple days of bonding.
Because otherwise it's chaos, right?
Yes. Like, yeah. There's a lot of screaming, and these babies have to find their voice, have to recognize their mom's voice. It's pretty incredible. I feel like I read a study, this was years ago, it's like an extraordinary number of faces that sheep, human faces, that sheep can recognize. Like, over 200 different human faces. And it makes you realize, like, right. Because we sort of think they all look very similar, but they have this ability to really distinguish one another.
Hmm.
It's very, very smart creatures. All right, we'll get her water, we'll do a little bit of poop cover on the cows, and we're set up for now. And then you come back in the middle of the day and do it again, and then you come back in the evening and do it again.
The life of a farmer.
Ongoing and never ending.
And, like, it feels like there's a disorder, order, and it's very satisfying and monotonous.
This is why we go out in the field.
It's awesome. The sun is, you know, it's now warming, getting higher in the sky, it's warming up, everybody's chilled out now that they've been fed and watered and their poop's been covered by hay.
Quiet and order. Yeah. Again, to be, repeat, rewind. I think the thing that is important is, like, here we are. We're sitting in front of this barn. It's like 1830s-ish barn. People have been farming right here, this very land, since then. And this Warwick sits at the top of a watershed. So the choices that we make and the choices that farmers make everywhere impacts all of these people, both downstream, literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. And so it matters, right? When we choose to use organic grain, we choose to, like, not treat our fields with imported fertility. When we choose, like, these choices matter for water quality and otherwise. And they're choices that people are making across our landscape, really. And also, like, this hay we make, we pay neighbors to help us pick it up. We make square bales, which is not that common anymore. And part of that is because we don't want to get the tractor out every single time we do chores. And I think, in theory, we thought our kids would be doing this.
Do they?
Our kids have spent a ton of time up here and have done a ton of work and, frankly, are pretty jacked when it comes to, like, hay picking up. But no, they don't want to come up and do chores. I think a lot of it is, like, the odor, right?
Yeah.
They, like, are going to their thing afterwards and they don't want to smell like the barn. Mm-hmm. So that is, like, a little bit of an obstacle right now. Anyways, yeah, so, like, this, and we buy our grain from Green Mountain Feeds, so either through the Greenfield Co-op or directly in bulk. That's a local feed company. The money that we spend on this small little business on this small hillside in this tiny little village stays here, and that's true for, like, so many farms in our area, most farms in our area. So it's important that they continue to thrive and exist.
To continue those economies and keep them going.
Yeah, our mechanic is a local guy. Like, there's knowledge here that we need. We all of us collectively, sort of communally, need.
And all those people got to eat.
But then you bring this knowledge and expertise of doing this for 17 years on this farm as you advocate for tons of farmers across the community with your role as executive director of CISA.
Yeah, and learn about other sort of sectors for sure. And there are very many commonalities that sort of thread across those sectors for sure. Labor, who's doing the labor? What's the margin? What are the sort of routine choice points that you're making?
Yeah. You're like the Mike Vrabel of CISA, where he was a player, Super Bowl winner, and then takes the Patriots to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, although I have to say, it's a complicated system. And I am learning a ton about sort of the big picture that you don't always see when you're thinking about your own entrepreneurial enterprise and like, how do we make this thing work? You're like pretty focused in. So it has been a very refreshing step back to think about the kinds of policies that help change the conditions for small farms across our landscape. Like that, there's a lot of hope there and there's a lot of great partners there in terms of people thinking about like, what are the small tweaks we can make that would have a very big impact? We're not there yet. There's a lot of vulnerability. I think there's a lot of precariousness in farms. And so we got to figure out how we undergird that a little bit more intentionally.
Look at these troubled twins. Yeah. They're like literally just a pile of trouble.
This is the party. We have a very good friend. He's Panamanian. And he calls this the ping ding caliente. Like when they're like running around. Like, it's crazy.
Well, thanks for showing us what you do when we're not out with you at other people's farms.
Yeah, thanks for doing it with me. You guys are troopers.
Go to heaven.